welcome to another episode of 90 Day Fiancé. Wait, what happened? I'm Kiara.
And I'm Kiana.
And today we're going to be discussing Season 5, Episode 8 of Before the 90 Days. So let's just get into it. So this episode starts with Kim and Usman. And even though Usman spent the night in Kim's room, turns out that he didn't give in and they still didn't have sex. So Usman says that they didn't have sex, even though he did with his ex-wife, who we all know, BGL, because they were actually in a relationship, according to him, when they got together. Him and Kimberly are not in a relationship. Therefore, no sexy time.
Right. So he said him and baby girl Lisa were like already engaged, I guess, before she even came there. So I guess that's the difference. But what are you thinking about this? Do you think that's BS or do you think it's some truth behind it?
I want to say that there's truth behind it because Usman seems pretty genuine. But at the same time, absolutely not. Because why even spend the night in her room and do all that if those are your principles and your morals or whatever?
Right. I do agree. I think Usman is a genuine person. But doesn't it seem like what is he getting out of this? To me, I'm trying to figure out what is his plan because right now it just seems like he's leading her on.
Basically. I mean, I know she got him like a PS5 or whatever. So I was kind of thinking like maybe that's why. He felt like he had to go stay in her room. Like, damn, she's buying me gifts and, you know, she came all the way out here. I should at least do that.
Right. Well, remember when his manager and his friend, they were kind of making it seem like Usman feels obligated. So you're right. Because they were like, but is this what you want, basically? And he's like, well, that's what she wants. But they're like, no, is that what you want? Because I think they can tell as well. It doesn't seem like this is what he wants.
Right. Because I think that was the part when he was packing his bags because he decided that he's actually gonna actually stay in her room now. So he was packing up his room in order to take all his shit to her room. And he told his friends, but that doesn't mean that we're actually in a relationship. Just because I go stay in her room. And all I'm saying is, just make sure that you tell Kimberly that.
Thank you. I said the same exact thing. And I was like, Kiara's going to be like, why are you telling us this? You need to be telling Kimberly that.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, I was thinking that too, because what's the point in telling the producers this if when you get to her room, you're not going to say that to her? But he did end up telling her, I'm not here to have sex. I'm here because I think we need to work on a relationship before we move forward.
Which is fine, but at the same time, I think they just need to have a real conversation. This conversation keeps centering around sex. They need to have a real conversation about their actual relationship. That way, Kim is not expecting to have sex and she's not expecting anything more than what he's willing to give.
Yeah, but I gotta say, I feel like Usman is kind of making it clear that he doesn't want to have sex with her. And he did tell her, I'm not here for that. I'm here because I want to be with you, not sexually, but I want to be in your room. I want us to like get to know each other and all that. I think Kimberly is like pushing it. And I don't know if it's because she was drinking that night, but she was kind of pushing it a lot. I understand she was frustrated, but at the same time, how many times are you going to ask a man to have sex with you? Because if a man wants to have sex with you, he will.
Period. But I will say that Usman was being a little bit contradictory because, yes, Kim's drinking. She's in her lingerie. But then we see Usman get to her room and she tells him, yeah, just have a seat. Get comfy. Why is the first thing that he does is take off his shirt? Now, Usman, what are you doing?
See, this is my point. He's sending her all these mixed signals. Half the time he's like, oh no, I don't want to have sex with you and all this other stuff. But at the same time, he's doing stuff like that, like coming to her room, being naked and all this other stuff. Like, come on. What exactly are you trying to do?
But then, of course, Usman kind of gets offended because he feels like all Kimberly wants is the sex. And mm-hmm. like I said, I just feel like they need to have a conversation. Usman keeps beating around the bush. Mm-hmm. Just say what it is. Lay out these expectations and stay in your own damn room. He's playing with her.
And also, I don't think that Kimberly only wants sex, but I do think that she's maybe thinking, and I could be wrong, but I do think that she's maybe thinking if they have sex, then he'll be more inclined to make their relationship official.
I'm sorry, but Kimberly is 50-something years old. She mm-hmm. should know that that ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
Yeah.
A man will have sex with her and not talk to her the next day. So
that's true.
She should already know. But Kimberly actually did try to have a conversation with Usman and Kiana. Why does Usman fall asleep during the conversation?
Kiana, I was like, I would be so pissed. And it's not that he fell asleep. He's like, I'm going to sleep now. So he did not fall asleep. It's not like they're talking and he's like, oh, I'm really tired, and just close his eyes and later. That's when she got pissed and was like, okay, I can't do this anymore.
She should take that and go with it. I'm telling you, we had this conversation about another couple last week. When these people show you who they are, which mm-hmm. Usman has been showing her since they met,
yep,
that he's not very interested, you know, whatever the case is, please believe them. He's yep. literally showing you.
And I think Usman is a good person, like we said earlier, but I think he just doesn't want to be with Kimberly, and that's fine. I've low-key kind of feel like he's trying to force himself to like her in that way.
Yeah, or at least tolerate her until they leave.
Yeah, and he's like, I love you in my own way. And I just feel like he doesn't like her in the relationship type of way. He likes her as like a friend. They were talking already for a while before she went there. So I think he's trying to make her happy, for one. Just like he said, oh, that's what she wants, so I'm gonna do it. And two, I think he's trying to force himself to like her, but he just doesn't like her.
Period. So, of course, like you said, Kimberly gets very upset at this point. She says that she's going to cuss him out like a dog. And mm-hmm. also she's going to tell her son, who, pause, his name is actually Jamal.
Oh, no. She said her son is going to cuss him out like a dog. And I'm like, okay.
But you know what? When she said that her son's name was Jamal, I was like, oh, nah, he gotta be black. Because what the... And he actually was.
Yeah, they showed him before.
Oh, I didn't see
actually him. I think that was that episode that it was like they show like all those extras like behind the scenes. So you may not have seen him if you didn't see that episode. But he's handsome too, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. So she says all that about her son and everything. And then Usman says that Kim's son is his son. So he ain't worried about him.
Yeah, I was okay.
Like, all right, Usman.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, sir. We'll see what Jamal thinks about that.
I mean, you can't really stunt on anybody harder than being like, I can sleep with your mom anytime I want to. Mm-hmm. That would completely just shut anybody down.
Right.
So Usman low-key wins, honestly.
Well, yeah, I don't think Kimberly would go for that because her and her son have a pretty good relationship. Like, they seem very close. So I don't even think she would go for that. Plus, her son is grown. It's not like he's a kid. So, I mean, he doesn't have to do what Usman says. He doesn't even live with her.
He don't have to do what he says. I'm just saying, like, I thought that was funny that he said that. That's all.
Right.
All right. Let's move on to the next couple, which happens to be Ben and Mahogany. But of course, there is no Mahogany.
Girl, I told you we were not going to see her on this episode.
I think we're going to see her eventually, just not on this episode. So when we see Ben, he's on the plane to Peru. Like we said last time, she told him maybe he shouldn't come because her dad doesn't really approve or whatever. And he told her that he was coming anyway. Of course, after he sends that text message, he does not hear back from her.
I wonder why.
First of all, this is what I'll say. You know, you can't just get a refund on plane tickets. So I'm low-key thinking I may have just gone as well. Unless 90 Day Fiancé paid for the ticket, then I guess it really wouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm. I think they probably pay for their own tickets. So I was thinking about that too. Maybe he's like, damn, I already bought this plane ticket. We've already planned it and we've been talking about it. So I'ma just go. But at the same time, I've been texting you over and over and over, and you've been responding just fine. And now all of a sudden, when I'm like literally about to get on the plane, you just ghost?
And that's what we see when he actually lands in Peru and he's at the airport, and we see him looking around and, you know, trying to see if she's there. Oh my gosh, it's so sad. She wasn't there, of course. And he starts crying.
Girl, this man started crying. I was like, oh my goodness. That it was even me want to cry.
Right. It was even worse than how we thought it was going to be last week when we were talking about, oh, he's going to be so sad and heartbroken. But actually seeing him cry, oh my gosh.
Girl, come on. You have all these signs. But when he started crying, it's like, damn, he really like thought that he was going to be meeting her. So I just feel that was the saddest thing ever.
So Ben says, you know, he's talking to the confessional people and, you know, he's talking about how he was supposed to meet Mahogany there. And all I have to say is I did feel bad for him for crying. But Ben, you were not supposed to meet her there. She never had any plans of meeting you. He makes it seem like she actually said, okay, yeah, I'm coming, and then just didn't. I think he's being too naive.
Well, he's definitely naive, but I think they had plans before he actually got on the plane. I think they had planned everything out already.
Yeah.
That's another reason why I feel like he just went ahead and went. Cause he's like, I'm sure that just because her dad is feeling some type of way doesn't mean that I would fly all the way from America to Peru. We've already made all these plans and she won't show up. I'm sure that's what his thinking was.
I guess that would make sense, but we're also talking about Ben here. So I don't really know. Like, I think his judgment is clouded by his love for her and wanting to meet her so bad. Girl. So they, for all we know, they didn't have any kind of plan.
Mm-hmm. And I know that we keep comparing him to Caesar from a few seasons ago, but this to me is low-key sadder than the Caesar situation, because he actually started crying. But it's kind of the same in the sense that the very second everything's going fine, the very second that they say, I'm getting on the plane, like I'm heading there now, the person's like, oh, I can't come, or oh, something came up, or whatever the case may be. Any excuse to not show up. But I was really thinking, like, how naive can you be? But he really believes that her dad's situation is the reason why she didn't show up. He's like, I can't believe that she's let her dad's doubts get in the way of this and all that. I'm like, are you really still believing this?
Yeah, he is. That's why I'm like, I would believe that he went there with no plan, period. Because he believes shit like that.
Girl.
But anywho, we see Ben get into the cab on the way to his hotel. And the cab driver actually asked Ben if it's his first time in Peru. And of course it is. So Ben says, yes. I just want to take a minute and say, I don't care who you are, how old you are, man or woman, I would not be telling anybody that it's my first time in a country where I'm there all alone and I don't even speak the language. They could kidnap your ass.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, luckily, really?
Luckily for Ben, though, I mean, men do get kidnapped, but luckily for Ben, he's like a pretty big guy. He's older, so he doesn't have as much to worry about as, say, like a little female, like single young female. So
I guess I was like, don't take notes from Ben. Never tell anybody that it's your damn first time. Right. And you don't know shit else about the country.
Right. And also while they were in the cab, I guess I didn't realize that Mahogany and Ben were not ever talking on the phone. They only text. So when the cab driver was like, did you call her? Or he's like, no call, only text. I'm like, what? These people aren't even talking on the phone?
Yeah, I must have missed that too, because damn.
Girl, it's just like the Caesar thing. Okay, it's not only a red flag when they don't want to see you. Maybe they have their own reasons. Because, you know, just like on the show Catfish, these people will talk on the phone for years. Mm-hmm. And they'll be a real person, but they just, for whatever reason, never wanted to meet the person. And not just the people that are catfishing, but it'll be the actual person. They just never wanted to see them for some reason. But at least they would talk on the phone.
Right.
You mean to tell me you've never even talked to this person on the phone? She sent you that fake ass video, that one fake ass video, and you guys haven't even been talking on the phone? What in the world kind of red flag is this? This is the biggest red flag ever.
It's the fact that he ignores all this shit for me.
Girl, exactly. Like, okay, in my opinion, it's one thing for us to be texting all the time and you don't want to FaceTime because you don't have an iPhone or you don't have Wi-Fi or you're shy even. But the fact that they're not even talking on the phone, that should be a signal light, alert sound, everything to you. I mean, seriously, that is so crazy to me. It's 2022.
But he also was in a cult for however long, so he's kind of behind. At least 24 years, because that's how long he knew his wife. So he was probably in the cult for even longer than that. So,
girl, okay,
he's so just way behind.
So what about when the producer, when they were at the hotel, and the producer asked him, like, do you think it's a chance that this is not real or she's not real or whatever she said or whatever he said? And Ben said, yeah, there's like a 3% chance. Boy, 3%?
Where did you even get that number from? Like,
right. Where did you get 3%? And why so little? Because out of everything that's happened, I would say there's about a 95% chance that she's fake and a 5% chance that she's real.
Like, I just want to see the math. How did you come up with that number? Like, show me the equation.
No, seriously, like, I can't. I'm like, where the hell did that come from? 3%?
The producer should have gave him a pencil and some paper and said, can you show us how you got to that probability?
Right. Seriously, because I'm like at a loss right now.
But that's how we saw Ben. Of course, we didn't see Mahogany. I think, like I said, she's going to be real. We're going to see her. But here's my question for you. Do you think that it's going to be another Caesar situation or even David situation where they are real, but they just don't want to be with them? Or do you think that she's actually going to want to be with him?
Okay, I will say I don't think that she's real. Like, in my mind, I'm like, she's fake. But I've been watching this show for a while, so I kind of see how they do things. I feel like she may end up being real, only because of the way that they're kind of like setting it up, so to speak, as far as the show goes. So I'll say there's a 5% chance that she's real. And I will say that if she's real, I think that it most definitely will be a Caesar and David situation. Because there's absolutely no reason why she would be acting this way, period.
Mm-hmm. We'll see in the coming episodes, I hope.
I know, I'm excited.
I bet you they're going to pull one of those things where we don't even see Ben on the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
They're just going to not show him.
Like, we didn't see Memphis on this episode.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and move on to Mike and Jimena. So when we first see them, they're in the Uber or the cab or whatever it is, and we see Mike blowing his nose, And then he tries to stuff the tissue in the back seat. What the hell? And then Jimena has to tell him that that's gross and that's wrong. Why are you doing this?
Now, Mike, why in the world do you think it's okay to blow your freaking nose? Forget the pandemic. Why do you think it is okay for you to blow your nose and then stuff the nasty toilet tissue paper in the backseat of somebody else's car?
And don't pretend like you were going to get it out later because you know good and well you weren't.
Like, not wrap it in anything, not even try to put it in your pocket. You're about to put your nasty snot in somebody else's car for them to clean up. Are you kidding me?
Gross.
That was disgusting. I'm like, really, Mike? No, that was just, come on. That was just weird.
And here's the thing. I know that they edit the episodes a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm just wondering if they edited out Mike being so nasty in the beginning episodes, or if they're editing in him being more nasty now. They're just doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, like, remember at the beginning when he first got to Jimena's and he, like, was throwing his clothes around and stuff? Okay, that's one thing. He's just messy. But I think, I'm not going to say that they're intentionally trying to embarrass Mike, but why are y'all showing all this stuff? Like, I'm so confused.
All of a sudden, like, y'all was not showing any of this before.
Like, ever since Jimena was like, he's dirty, they just trying to embarrass my man.
So Mike tells Jimena that, you know, he's sorry that he's kind of been a slob and leaving his clothes everywhere, not putting them in the washer because he has ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that makes his attention span not always be on whatever it should be on.
Right.
And I get that, right? But I don't think that it's fair that Mike is using this ADHD to be dirty. You're saying that you walk past your dirty ass clothes fucking probably 10 times a day and you don't ever think like, oh yeah, let me pick those up.
Well, I agree. I do think the ADHD may be an issue to some extent, but I think the other extent is exactly what Jimena was saying when she was saying that he's never lived with a woman. And that's clear because he's like a slob. And when a guy lives with a woman, for the most part, I think they at least try to be a little clean, especially if they've lived with them for a while, maybe not at the beginning. But like she was saying, she's gonna teach him how to not be nasty, and hopefully he will follow and adhere to that. It's just common courtesy stuff, you know?
And I totally agree. I think the ADHD could play a factor. I just don't think that it's fair for him to say he's a slob because of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. Well, he tells her about the ADHD thing. And Jimena tells him, you know, I get that, but still stop.
Mm-hmm.
Jimena was so confused. She's kind of like, okay, I get it, but now what?
But she was very understanding.
Yeah.
But I think when a guy hasn't ever lived with a woman, like besides their mom, it does take a while for them to kind of get used to it. I don't want to think that you're dirty still.
Right. You know, I'm sure Jimena has her moments too sometimes. But for the most part, come on, Mike, you gotta listen to what your woman is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And try harder, period.
Right.
And you see how she mentions the whole gas thing. She mentions the dirty clothes thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he would try on that. But then he still, like, is dirty blowing his nose in the backseat of a car. See, you gotta spell stuff out for men. That
I
is
really
ridiculous.
Do.
That is ridiculous. She should not have to tell him not to put his tissue in there. But, you know, that's how it is. You got to tell him everything. If you don't want him to do something, or if you want him to do something, you better list everything out.
Yeah, because they're going to say, oh, you say you don't like me letting out my gas on you. you didn't say I couldn't blow my nose and put the tissue in the back seat.
Right.
That's the type of stuff they say. So
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, later on that evening, we see Mike cooking food for Jimena and the kids. All I'm saying is the way that we've seen Mike in the past, what, 2 episodes? I would not want him to be making my kids or me any food. Absolutely not. Dirty. He probably didn't even wash his hands.
Well, when he first said, yeah, I made spaghetti and cheese sauce, I'm like, what the hell is that?
Girl,
what is
where?
Spaghetti and cheese sauce?
Girl, where's Mike from? Hold on. Oh, he's from New York. I was about to say, because I know in Louisiana, people eat mac and cheese, but it's actually spaghetti noodles. It's not macaroni.
Mm-hmm. What in the world?
So I was kind of thinking maybe that's it. But he's from New York, so I don't know.
I ain't never heard of that.
Girl, me either. Until just recently, actually.
Dang.
Maybe that's a thing.
Because he says spaghetti and cheese sauce. And I'm saying to myself, what is that? And where's the meat?
I was low-key about to say, who the hell wants to eat just noodles and cheese? But, I mean, that's what macaroni is. Macaroni and cheese.
Okay, basically, first of all, when he says spaghetti and cheese sauce, I'm thinking regular spaghetti. He meant spaghetti noodles and cheese sauce. Like,
right.
No meat sauce. No meat, no sauce. Just spaghetti and cheese.
I have no clue. Which leads us to, actually, Jimena and the kids were fake eating.
I know, but it was kind of sweet.
It was sweet in the fact that they're trying to make him feel better, I guess. But also, like, he still got the point. He still saw them not eating.
Yeah, he did.
And then I felt bad for the kids because now the kids got to go to bed hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
That's what I was thinking, too. Because Jimena's like, don't eat that. You're going to get, not E. coli. What did she say? Colic or something?
Yeah, she said colic.
Whatever that is. But I'm just like, I thought colic was when babies keep coughing a lot.
No, I think it's when babies get gas.
Oh. Well, anyway, she's like, don't eat that. You're going to get colic. And I was thinking like, oh. But what are we going to eat for dinner?
I know, that's right. Poor
she probably snuck them in a snack. Hopefully. After Mike went to bed.
Then, after that whole situation, the next day, we see Mike meet with Jimena's dad. And he tells Mike that he's concerned about his intentions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Mike is grown as hell. This is exactly what we were talking about Ben last week. What are you talking about? You're concerned about my intentions. This is ridiculous. I'm grown as hell. I'm damn near your age. What intentions could I possibly have with your daughter?
I know. It's not like she's the American and she's going to take me to America to get a better life. No offense, but what could Jimena's 24-year-old self do for me that I can't do for myself back at home?
Right. But I think that her father did have a point, though, because he said that not only that, but he's also concerned about the grandkids, and that's what he wants to look out for as well. Now, that part I understand, because Jimena be having all these men in and out of her damn kids' lives. Her father probably just wants to make sure that Mike isn't going to be one of those people.
Right.
But right. Don't be telling me you don't know my intentions when I'm grown as hell.
Girl, then it was kind of funny when the dad asked him, what's her favorite color? And Mike said, pink? The dad sitting looking at him, no, black.
First of all.
Now that was funny.
Can you imagine having this conversation, but you gotta wait for the translator every time? God. Oh my gosh.
I can't.
I would rather have a person translate than be waiting on that stupid little device.
I just cannot. I just could not.
But, you know, Jimena's dad has a point. You don't even know something so basic about her. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, I will say they haven't known each other in person that long. Mm-hmm. What do they be talking about on the phone before they meet? Because that sounds like basic ass shit. Like, what's your favorite color? What is your favorite food? What do you like to do?
Just meeting someone from another country. I'm also trying to figure out, because remember when Jimena was sitting with her parents and she was saying that before he came there, she was sure that she would marry him. But now she just doesn't know. Just thinking to myself, why were you so sure when you guys don't know basic things about each other?
Girl, the same reason she was sure that she wanted to have sex in that jail, have babies with people she don't know. It's crazy because she's so young-minded in that aspect.
Definitely.
But then, you know, she's telling Mike he needs to clean up.
Yeah.
She seems childish on one end, but then maybe not so much on the other end. I don't know. After that, we actually see Mike chilling with him and his kids on the swing set, you know, having a great old time. And then he asked the kids if it would be okay if he gave their mom a ring. And he then asked them if they want him to be their dad.
That was such a cute moment. Her kids are so adorable.
It was very sweet, and her kids are adorable. I don't think any 90 Day Fiancé kid is as adorable as Armando's daughter, but I'm just saying.
Armando? I don't remember Armando.
Armando from Mexico. The one that's married to Kenny.
Oh, okay.
Now, his daughter is so adorable. But anyway, sorry, we got sidetracked there. Very sweet moment. But I felt bad, actually, because obviously we know that Mike has good intentions, but it seems like he has so much pressure on his side, you know, to be this father to the kids. And they want him to be their dad so bad. It just seems like it's so much pressure. I don't think I could deal with it.
But it doesn't seem like it's a lot of pressure to him, because it seems like he wants to be their dad.
A part of me, though, feels like he shouldn't have even brought that up to them. Like we already talked about, they haven't known each other very long. They already are having some issues.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like before you bring kids into it, you need to be 100% sure.
Definitely. Well, the thing about it is, I think that Mike is 100% sure. It's Jimena who's on the fence.
Because that's when her dad was telling her, although she has her doubts because of the clean thing and all that kind of stuff. Basically, Mike is the best for the kids at this point, so just suck it up.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie. My mind was blown at this conversation, because it started off fine when she was like, yeah, I'm teaching him how to be cleaner, you know, manners, stuff like that, which is fine. Then both of her parents were saying, you need to do what's best for you and the kids. You don't need to just be thinking about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, what in the world is happening? And my mind was blown. That kind of made me think her intentions may not be 100% in favor of Mike. Like,
I've been thinking that. No,
so maybe. That kind of made me sad for Mike.
Right. No, maybe. There definitely is.
Yeah, because how would you feel? Obviously, they're going to see the show after this. How would you feel if they get married and your in-laws, you hear them saying, you need to do what's best for the kids. Don't just think about yourself. He can give you a better life, you and the kids.
And I'm sure that they've had this conversation with him in multiple times before. She has two kids. I don't know if she works anywhere.
She doesn't.
They probably were telling her, look, you need to get yourself together. And that's why they're telling her that now.
I'm not going to lie. I was pretty upset. Her mom said, well, if you end things with him, you're going to have to get a job, because who's going to pay your rent?
Mm-hmm.
I was just floored. Like,
not floored.
Girl, I'm telling you, like, that made me feel some type of way, because I was thinking that maybe Jimena really does care for Mike, but now it seems that maybe her and her family, maybe more so her family, because it did kind of seem that she was thinking like, I don't know, I don't care, I'm still not 100%. So it did kind of seem like that, because she doesn't want to use him. But her parents just kept saying, girl, you need to do what you got to do.
Period. So
that was really making me feel some type of way.
I mean, we'll see. I want to kind of look up to see if they're still together, but I think I'm going to just wait it out. But
I did see on Instagram the other day, like 2 days ago, Mike posted a picture of him and Jimena, and he said throwback to, I guess, when they were filming or whatever. He didn't say anything about I love you or something like that. He just did like a throwback to when they were together. So I don't know.
We'll see. You know, because if they're going to be on another season, then they don't put too much on social media so that they don't spoil it.
Right, right.
But they're probably still together if he's posting pictures, I would hope, because that's kind of creep status.
Because somebody else did that recently, too. Who was that? I'm trying to think. Never mind. I can't think right now. But somebody else recently did that, and I'm thinking they must still be together, because I think it's weird.
Posting pictures of their ex.
Yeah, like, even if they're not still together and they're just posting a throwback, I still think it's kind of weird.
It is. It definitely is. Oh, well, let's go on to Alina and Caleb, who I was surprised to see on this episode.
Because
what the fuck? I thought Alina got fired. So
that's what I was thinking. Was it official that she got fired, like from TLC? Or was it just like an internet thing? That's what I started thinking.
It must have just been an internet thing. I don't remember them announcing that they fired anybody else. I just remember them not being on the show anymore, like BGL and whoever the guy that was with Varya, I forgot his name again, Jeff.
Yes,
like,
Jeff.
I don't remember TLC saying they got fired. They just weren't there anymore. So I was thinking maybe it could have been the same thing with Alina, but maybe not. Anyway, when we first see them, Caleb is obviously still upset that she hid the fact that she was still living with her ex at the time that they had gotten together, which is just such BS. But anyway,
Alina, we talked about this last week. Perfect excuse for Caleb.
Yes. And that's perfect excuse. And that's exactly what Alina said. She said that she feels like Caleb is using this secret as an excuse to not think about their future.
Mm-hmm.
And duh.
And you know what? This is perfect for Caleb. And not only because Alina lives in Russia and not because of her disability, but because it doesn't seem that Caleb is the settling down type.
At
the very beginning, they showed him going like to all these different countries with all these different girls. I think this was his chance to finally meet Alina, who he's been talking to for 13 years. Go meet up with her, have a little fun. As far as this being a real relationship, I don't know if that was ever his intention.
Well, that's something that he should have said from the jump. I don't know. What's wrong with these people? Now, you know damn well that you don't really want to be in a relationship. Why are you waiting to tell these people?
With someone who lives in Russia, he told Alina's friend, what's his name?
Elijah.
He told Elijah that he had sex with over 100 people. So clearly, in my opinion, that's something that's important to him. I just don't see him throwing that away to be with someone who lives across the world in Russia.
And you know what? I was thinking about that too, because this kind of reminds me of a few seasons ago of Before the 90 Days. And it seemed like none of the couples were actually planning to get married. They were all kind of just meeting each other, basically.
Right.
And that's what's different about this season, which is good, because most of the couples do want to have a future. But that is what Caleb was reminding me of. He didn't really want to have a future with her. He just wanted to meet her on the show, I guess.
I agree. Well, before it was that everybody was going over there to meet the person and get married all in one swoop. But then I think the last season before this one, it was more so like, hey, let's just meet and see.
Right.
And now this one, it does seem like mostly everybody wants to get married, except Caleb.
We'll see. So then we see Elijah, he's about to leave, and he tells Caleb to treat Alina like a queen. And you know what? Like I said before, I really liked Elijah, and I can just only hope that he's not also a racist. He seemed like such a cool guy.
He does.
I'm thinking, I hope he's not racist.
Girl, all I could think about when Alina was talking is that she speaks English so well. It would just be so hard for me to believe that she doesn't know what certain things mean in English.
Right.
She's one of the ones that speaks English very well. She was telling Caleb, I feel like you're being so vague with me and all this other kind of stuff. I'm thinking, this girl just said, you're being vague with me? What? That's something that if you don't speak English, that's not something that you would say.
Right.
She speaks English very well. So the fact that she's saying like she didn't know what certain things mean, to me, it just doesn't seem believable. And I just couldn't help but think the whole time she speaks English very well.
Mm-hmm.
All she does is has an accent, but she understands the language.
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, it's just an excuse at the end of the day.
I think so, too.
Well, of course, now that Elijah is gone, Alina and Caleb have to actually spend time alone. And they actually went to that Turkish bath place. It was very awkward. They were getting like bubbles and shit put all over them. And
I know, but apparently that's a thing.
Yeah, Caleb seemed to be okay after that. I mean, he didn't seem so mad anymore. You know, there was this like ancient Greek bath place that I went to try in Chicago. I think it was kind of similar to where they went, but I mean, it was kind of weird, but I would do it.
I would too.
But, you know, I just kind of, it was kind of shitty seeing them though, because I just feel like Alina should not be on there. And I get it. Caleb shouldn't be punished, but at the same time,
I agree.
What can you do? You know, he just, it's like guilty by association. He just can't really be on the show if that's the case. But I don't know.
I agree. I watched it, but it was kind of hard for me to watch their segment just because the only thing that I could think about, like I said, was how well Alina speaks English. And
she should
that's,
know better.
I'm like not even joking. That's literally all I was thinking. Dang, yeah. This girl, she definitely understands English, but I digress.
Right. Exactly. Well, let's just go ahead and move on from them. Let's go on to Gino and Jasmine. So, of course, this is the episode where they're finally going on the trip that she booked for them. Notice I said that she booked it because we know that Gino had to pay.
Okay.
Also, Jasmine said that it's her first time going to this place because of how expensive it is. And then when they're on the plane, did you notice something weird about the plane?
No.
Why did it seem like they were the only ones on the plane? Like it was a private plane or something?
Oh, because they were saying it's a small plane because they have to take this little plane there. And they said that this island is like invitation only or some shit.
Damn.
Something that she said. So, or she said something to that effect. I can't really remember, but yeah, she said something to that effect that I think you have to take a small plane and stuff.
That's interesting because then I was saying, damn, did he have to pay for the private plane too? And $2,500 doesn't seem like very much for a private island.
How much?
It was only $2,500 for the trip, or that's what they said.
That's a lot of money.
For two people to go to a private island, I would think that would cost way more.
Hell no. That is a lot of money. But you got to think, they went from Panama. She said it's only like 50 miles from the coast of Panama. If they're coming from America or something, it definitely would be expensive. But either way, $2,500 is a lot of money. And Jasmine, you got me effed up. If you're just going to book something on my credit card, are you crazy?
Are you insane? That's been established.
Right.
Then when they get to the island, they're kind of having a moment. And Jasmine says that, you know, the island is kind of making her meditate on her behavior towards mm-hmm. Gino. And basically, she was kind of saying that she felt bad about how she had been treating him like shit.
Good.
And I was glad because obviously we've seen it. And Gino has also seen it and it has been so confused. Poor Gino. Mm-hmm. So I was glad that she saw it. And hopefully, you know, hopefully that sticks with her, that she should not be treating him like this, because that's her man, that's her boo. And he does a lot for her. And he lets her run all over him. So
yes. He didn't even like say anything. She booked that freaking trip on his card.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still stuck on that.
Gino better be checking his bank account every day, because
heck yeah, because one day he get your card.
Right. And one day he gonna go buy something and that shit gonna decline. And then he's gonna look at the statement and see that Jasmine mm-hmm. bought some crazy ass shit.
Whatever, yeah.
Well, they're on the private island and Jasmine is reflecting. But then Jasmine tells Gino that she got this weird message from one of Gino's exes. And, you know, Jasmine starts asking, well, have you talked to her? What's going on? Gino tells Jasmine that he did contact the ex. What? I don't know what is with guys. I really don't. But anyway, Jasmine says, well, when did you contact her? What's going on? Gino says, I'm trying to think. And then turns out it was only 2 or 3 days ago. You see how guys do? You see how guys do?
Yep. He tried to make it seem that it was a while ago.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it was really 3 days ago.
Oh my gosh.
First of all, weren't you in Panama 3 days ago?
He was, yes.
Why in the world are you even thinking about your ex while you're here? Are you trying to make her jealous? Oh, I'm here in Panama with my new boo. She's hotter than you. She's this, she's that. I don't care if you're bragging on me. The whole thing is, why are you texting your ex while you're here with me?
Why
does this make any sense?
Exactly. Why do you care what your ex thinks about your life or your new girlfriend or whoever?
Yeah.
Why
that's
is that
ridiculous.
So important?
That is crazy.
But that just goes to show you, look, we were calling Jasmine crazy, but we were calling her crazy about her behavior. Mm-hmm. I'm totally with Jasmine on this. She has been knowing since the jump that it was something off between Gino and his ex. Mm-hmm. She has been saying that. And now we know that it's true. Women's intuition does not lie, period.
Yep, that's true. I just couldn't believe it. I'm just thinking to myself, Gino, really? Everything was going so well. I was also kind of thinking, did you think she was being a little condescending when she was like, I trust you so much and I just thank you and I know that my behavior hasn't been the greatest.
Yes.
Yeah, I was getting very condescending vibes from her.
I thought that it was genuine at first when she said that she was reflecting on her behavior. But it was the fact that she kept going on mm-hmm. and on about mm-hmm. how she trusted him. And I'm like, okay.
And she just kept saying, like, I trust you so much.
Right. I was thinking, okay, this is weird because this is the moment where you have the right to be upset, yet you're saying kind of sweet stuff about him and y'all's relationship or whatever.
I definitely think it was genuine at first, because I think she said that before, how she was thinking about her behavior and all that. So I think that part was genuine, but how you were saying, she just kept going on and on and on mm-hmm. and on about, I trust you, I trust you. That just really put the nail in the coffin for me, because I'm like, oh yeah, she's up to something.
But I'm with her. I'm with her. Make him fucking feel bad, Jasmine. Make him feel bad.
Girl, finally, what about his face, though? When she told him, your ex has been texting me, his face Gino, gave it all away.
Gino looked like he was about to shit his pants. He was like, girl, oh, he my God,
fidgeting and doing all that. I'm thinking, Gino,
you know you done fucked up now.
Girl, he has no type of poker face or anything. Just gave it all away.
And here's the thing. Gino, his ex, he should know his ex well enough, unless it was another situation like him and Jasmine where they didn't really know each other mm-hmm. before they got in a relationship. He should have known that she was going to contact Jasmine. Mm-hmm. He knew that she was jealous. He was trying to make her jealous by sending her all that shit about Jasmine. So what you thought? She was just not going to say anything?
I feel like he really didn't think she would contact Jasmine. Because if he thought she was going to contact Jasmine, he would not have done that.
I'm just saying,
and I must guarantee it.
I'm just saying he should have known.
Yeah.
He should have been thinking. But you know, certain people don't be thinking
mm-hmm.
far ahead. This is not,
that's true.
I want to put out a disclaimer. This is not a man-hating podcast. But
right. just like we just know how it works.
Right. Just like women just like women have certain qualities, men have certain qualities. And that's all we're pointing out here.
That's it.
But that's where we left off with Jasmine and Gino. Next week is going to be so good. So they better
I cannot wait.
So they better not try to pull no bullshit and not put them on next week.
Right. Because apparently Gino has sent this girl naked pictures of Jasmine.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait. This is the time that I need Jasmine to blow up.
Exactly.
Because it's one thing to be trying to make your ex jealous by saying, oh, I'm here in Panama with my new boo. She's hot. She's this, she's that, whatever you want to say. But you're sending freaking naked pictures of me
mm-hmm.
across the internet mm-hmm. to someone else so that they can like expose them or mm-hmm. whatever. Are you freaking kidding me? No way.
And honestly, Jasmine looks like the type to put her face in her nudes, you know, and she's sending them, and she's sending them to her boyfriend. So she probably does. And now this fucking random stranger has them. That's almost as bad. No, that's just as bad as if he were to send her money. If he was sending the ex money, like,
mm-hmm.
they're about on the same level of disrespect.
I agree.
But I think it's time, Kiana. It's time that we move on to our last couple of the night, Ella and Johnny. I just want to make a quick little disclaimer really quick. On this episode, did you already know how old Ella was?
No. How old is she?
She's 30.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, Ella does not look 30. I don't know how old I thought she was, but I definitely did not think that she was 30.
Yeah, she definitely don't look 30.
She looks older. I shouldn't say that. She just the doesn't look her age.
Yeah, I think it's because she's kind of big. No offense, but I think that makes her look older because her face actually doesn't look that old, but maybe her body makes her look old.
Okay. Anywho, Johnny is supposed to be going to Dubai to quarantine since he can't go to Singapore. But she's worried that he's hesitant to go because of the whole COVID situation. And when we see Ella's mom a little bit later on, she's saying the same thing that Ella was basically saying, where she's talking about how she doesn't understand why Johnny is so afraid and why he's using COVID as an excuse, because it's not prevalent.
Yeah.
Like, she's saying that it's not prevalent where they live. And I'm thinking, well, does Johnny know that? You know?
Right.
He's never been to the U.S. He doesn't know how small your town is.
My point exactly.
Yeah.
I see where they are kind of coming from. But at the same time, you got to think, other countries, especially countries where Johnny is, like China, they are very strict about this stuff. They have like certain standards already in these places. So he's just thinking, oh my goodness, the COVID is going crazy over there in America. I'm really nervous. I can understand him being nervous about that. Now, do I think he's using it as an excuse? Yeah, maybe. But I can still understand him being nervous about coming over here.
I don't necessarily think that he's using it as an excuse. Well, I think excuse sounds a little bad. It's more so of just he's using it as a reason.
Most definitely.
Not necessarily an excuse. But then Ella decides that maybe she should go to Dubai. And her mom is concerned about that because she's a white woman. She's concerned that she'll stick out, basically concerned for her safety.
Right.
I get it. But at the same time, Dubai is pretty diverse.
I was going to say, there's white people in Dubai.
Yeah, there's lots of people of all different backgrounds over there. I don't necessarily think it would be a horrible thing. Just don't go anyplace sketchy.
Where is Ella from again?
Idaho.
Makes sense. It seems like people from like a small town, their mindset may be a little bit different. How she's saying that Johnny shouldn't be scared because where they are, it's not that bad. Then she's saying, I don't want you to go to Dubai because you're a white lady. That makes sense.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the whole Idaho thing, because when we saw Ella at one point, she was trying to feed the cows at the ranch. And honestly, it just reminded me of Brandon and Julia. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know if Johnny is going to be up for that shit.
Girl, hell no. I'm telling you, I'm not even a farmer where I live. What in the world makes you think I'm coming to America to be a farmer? No way. No way.
I don't think, I mean, I'm sure he wants to probably try to get a job in whatever industry he's in.
Right.
But who knows how hard that could be if they live in such a small town.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. And that's basically where we left off with Ella and Johnny. So hopefully we figure out if they're finally going to meet up or not next week, because they're kind of dragging it now.
Yeah, they are.
Are they going to meet or what?
Yes, they are. But I am excited to see Memphis and Hamzy next week. Also, I realized why I keep calling him Hamzy. I like Hamzy, but the reason why I keep calling him that is because there's this mukbanger on Facebook and her name is Hamzy. Because I was thinking, where did I get that from? And that's where I got it from. But I like Hamzy, so.
Well,
but his name's Hamza, so I'm just going to call him Hamza.
Yeah, it's actually... It's actually Hamza.
Oh. Well, Hamza. My bad.
Actually, I did want to mention really quick. Do you watch The Single Life? 90 Day Fiancé Single Life?
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, apparently, Colty has been on there. And he was actually married to Vanessa, a.k.a. the girl that he had slept with, supposedly, one time, and then brought her around Larissa. And then when Larissa got mad, he's telling her, oh, you shouldn't be mad. It was just one time. And then they ended up married. And this is exactly what I mean when I say that guys have certain things that they do. Mm-hmm. And women have certain things that they do.
Because when the hell do they even get married?
Yeah. And obviously, it was always something more there.
Yep.
And you're going to sit here and try to make Larissa look so bad, look like she's crazy for pointing that shit out and being upset about it when you knew. And then they got married. But now they're getting a divorce because of Colty's mom, apparently. I mean,
of course.
Not and remember, shocked.
Colty's mom liked Vanessa more than Larissa, remember? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. Now look, same thing. Well, I don't know if you know, but did Larissa get deported yet?
No.
Wasn't she getting deported because she kept going to jail and all that?
I think she didn't get deported. She was still here, I thought. Because she had, she was with Ericky.
Oh, yeah.
Girl, that was a long time ago. Deportation thing.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of 90 Day Fiancé. Wait, what happened?
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 We'll be back next week with another episode. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 90 Day Fiancé WWH and also on Instagram at 90 Day Fiancé. Wait, what? Also, leave us some ratings and reviews here on Apple Podcasts.
Bye.